Do you believe that He loves you? That's going to be the title of our message this evening, is Love is Given. And we're going to be in John chapter 15, not far from where we are in our text this morning. But John chapter 15, we're looking at a time that He's with His disciples, and He gives them a command. Jesus gives them a command in John 15, verse 12 through 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You know, as I was looking at this message, I actually had in my mind God's grace on display. And God's grace is just simply Him extending His riches to us at His expense. Mercy is when He doesn't give us what we deserve, okay? It's always kind of hard to keep those apart. The way I do it is I remember what mercy is. He's not giving me what I truly deserve. But yet grace is, you can use it as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense, okay? Fun way to remember it. And so then as I was looking at the scripture, it wasn't just grace, it wasn't just mercy, but the very motivational factor of all these things was the love that God had for us. And we see that all throughout the Trinity. We see God the Father loved us, so He sent His Son. The Son loved the Father, so He came. But God, Jesus also loved us, didn't He? So He went to the cross. Then we see the Holy Spirit loved us because He came into the earth, a dark world, to be the light, the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of hope, right? And so He's fulfilled that. He's become that comforter. He can only be that comforter because He loves us, and He loves the Son, and He loves the Father. So you see how there's perfect unity, and the very basis or the foundation of all that is that He loves us. That's where it all started. It didn't start that we love Him, right? But that He first loved us. He acted upon salvation. We didn't start it. He did, and He's going to finish it. Amen? And I like that, because no one could do it better. No one could do it more complete than He is and has, and He will complete. So in this, I just want to hit on 3 points. It's going to be real simple. Love is given. We are commanded to love one another. Did you notice that? He said, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. So He tells us what to do, but then He demonstrated how He wants us to do it. But do you notice that love is a command? In our world today, love is, well, I don't like that one, so I don't love them. It seems as though they focus on an emotion, right? Did you know that you can love someone even if you don't feel like loving them? Did you know that you can love someone even if you don't feel an emotional connection? Well, that's just weird, isn't it? No, because love is a choice. Love is a decision that we make, and we make that on a daily basis. In our marriages, we just think, you know, when we were young, getting ready to get married, oh, love's going to conquer all. This is going to be great. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, she's so cute. And you get married, and 2 years later, it's like, that's the most annoying person I know. Are you with me? Yeah, all the cute things they used to do, we used to giggle at. Now it's like, would you just stop it? You're annoying me. Well, things change, don't they? But yet, that decision to love is a choice that we make each and every day. Amen? And so, love is a command that's been given to us. A command is simply an order, a charge, an injunction, and a precept. So God has commanded that we love one another, and we love one another in the way that He's loved us. A biblical love is not based on feeling, and to extend the love that He has extended to us. Every time that we find something in someone else, a reason or an excuse that I don't want to love them, I personally think if you look in your own heart, you have done the same annoying thing to God, and He chose to love you anyway. Are you with me? I know that's true in my life. I can't say that for you, but I know it's true in my life. We're to give grace and to show love to others, especially in the house of God. You know, I come across this thought in my process of studying for how is it that we take care of those in our community, the beggars, those that have need. Did you know it's actually spelled out in Scripture? Is that we are to take care of those that are in the house of God first, and then we financially take care of those that are outside the church. But your first priority is to make sure your brother or sister in the church is taken care of. That's your priority number one. And so in that, we realize is that we must, if we're going to be loving and showing love, we are to do it in our training grounds right here in our church family. Amen? So how do we demonstrate that love? Well, I'm glad you asked me. And so we demonstrate that love by showing our love in service. You know, pastors sometimes ask you, oh man, isn't there somebody else that can do that? That's not love, is it? Showing that love with a readiness. Showing that love by showing up and say, hey, pastor, I've seen something needs to be done. Can I do it? And so after you help pick me up off the ground that I couldn't believe somebody has offered, I give you everything you need, right? I'm teasing that, so because many of you do. Many of you. We show love in service. We show love in fellowship, don't we? We show love in fellowship. Do I question whether or not we're all busy? I don't think that's a question. But you know what? We make choices in our own busyness, right? We prioritize our own busyness. And so if we're going to show love, sometimes we need to have that fellowship. And I think we need to work on it more than ever. The last 2 years have been draining. It has been exhausting. And we have not been designed to be alone and apart. We've been designed to be together. That's how God has purposed us. You know that? And I believe that He can protect us in the same way as while we're fulfilling His commands, I think He protects. We use wisdom. We are smart about what we're doing. But I think that He also offers a protection that we need to put fear away. So we do so in service. We do so in fellowship. We do so in accountability. We were kind of talking about that a little bit over lunch today. Nobody wants to be accountable to anything. And you know, now that we've got in our society, it's so many people are working from home, don't have bosses hanging over them. I can do my job in my PJs with my little puppy dog in my lap. I don't want to be accountable. We start losing that need to realize that accountability is very healthy for us. I didn't get too many amens on that. Thank you, Truman. It is, because any of us that have been under discipline or places that we had to discipline ourselves, we realize that develops a character and a consistency within our character that will carry us through difficult times while others are just falling apart, and you realize that they don't have the stability of Christ and the stability of fellowship and the stability of faithfulness in a church family, and they have nowhere to go. Well, what led to that? Decisions all throughout life. They weren't loving and they weren't being loved. And the end result is they got nowhere to go. So what happens? They act out of desperation. They steal. They hurt others. They take from others what does not belong to them. They're suffering. They go to medicate themselves, and it starts a world of torment and difficulty that they open doors, that temptations that they never should have known, and now they're dealing with. Amen? So, service, fellowship, accountability, and responsibility. We act like responsibility is a scary thing when it should be a welcoming thing. Amen? It's rewarding to be able to have your own job, to provide for what you are, what you can do. It gives a strength and a joy, isn't it, that you're able to give back. And so we do so in the house of God. So the greatest demonstration of love, number two, is the Lord Jesus lays down His life for His friends. Now, He was describing them as servants. He said, I've not called you servants, but I've called you friend. Now, that's something that's interesting, that even our service to the Lord Jesus, He's not forcing us as servants while yet we are. Amen? We are servants to the King, but yet He treats us as friends. You ever try to take advantage of a friend? I had a friend one time who worked at a gas station. I was like, hey, you think you can help me with a couple extra gallon of gas? He's like, I can only do that on my car, not your car. And I'm like, oh man, that's a bummer. But he said, I can get you a soda. Well, yeah, I'll take a soda. You know, as teenagers, you're always looking for your buddy to give you an edge somewhere, you know? You got something, a perk at the job or something that you can share with me. And I think we do that at times. We're looking for something extra. But you know, we get a lot extra with Jesus, don't we? And you know what is, He doesn't have to bend the rules to give us a little extra. We ask God to do something, and then when He answers in such a mighty way, in such a great way, we stand back astounded of, I didn't even think of all those things that He blessed us with. I asked him for one, and he just gave us a truckload of blessings. He does so because it comes from his heart. Isn't that the same way that when we work with one another, someone comes and asks, and, hey, can I have this? And I'm like, well, how about if I give you that? And do you have everything else? Do you have this covered? Do you have covered? And they're like, well, wow, I wasn't coming for that. I know, but I want to give. You know, isn't that kind of the concept that when Jesus was telling us to go, when you find the Roman soldier, he comes and says, you know, carry my armor. He says, well, then you offer to carry it for 2 miles instead of 1 mile. When someone asks you for clothing, you give them your cloak and then give them your coat also. Why would you do that? Why? Because it should come from a place of the heart. It should come from an attitude of love. Amen? And when we truly love the Lord and we're truly loving those that we're serving, we never really can do enough. Amen? In fact, we find ourselves willing to give above and beyond what we're capable. Why? Because when we love them, there really is no cost that's too great. Amen? That's what Jesus did for us. And so I want to ask you today, when we apply this, I want to ask you, are you laying down your life for Jesus the way that he's done for you? Now take a minute to answer that, because when we compare to all that he had done, do you realize the moment that he was born, every word that came out of his mouth, every thought that entered his mind, and every action that he took was for us and in perfection without sin? We got a tall order to fill, don't we? But yet we see how far that he went to lay down his life. But we also can lay down our lives for him. Are we going to do it as perfectly as he is? No. He knew that. That's why we need a Savior. Amen? And so he come to give us life that we may lay down our lives for him and that we would serve him and bring glory to his name. So my last point, how to become a friend of God. Isn't that amazing that he says there in Scripture? You are my friends if what? You do whatever I command you. Does this mean that some people are not his friends? Yes. You find it interesting that Jesus had a group of men that they referred to as the inner circle that was there closer. Some were following the Lord more closely than others. Does this mean that others didn't have opportunity? I honestly believe that they took the opportunity to get as close to the Lord as they could. Not just hearing him teaching as a master, but wanting to know him personally and wanting to follow him. And it's interesting that Peter would be one of those. Sometimes you think the most outspoken one is the one that's always, popping off of the mouth or off track or whatever it may be. But even those that may irritate us are close to the Lord. Amen. He doesn't love us because of our personality. Praise the Lord. He loves us because we're his. We belong to him. We are his prized possession. You know, still to this day, my kids tease. They get with mom and they'll hug mom and say, you know, I'm still the favorite, right? And they go, oh, I'm not saying that. They try to get mom to say which one is the favorite. But you know what's amazing is that each and every one of us, no matter how many there are of us, that we are the favorite. How does God do that? Because God's big enough to do that, amen? Isn't that exciting? You're the favorite. Yeah, and we won't even make fun of you for it because I'm the favorite too. Isn't that right? Amazing that he can do that. But we can be the friend of God, and he encourages us and motivates us to do so by following his commandments. So I ask you, how is your friendship with the Lord today? Have you kept his commandments? Are you following his will for your life? You know, we search for good friends on the earth here today, don't we? And, you know, finding a really good lifetime friend is a challenge, isn't it? I've had the opportunity to connect with some of my high school buddies, and that's pretty exciting. There's a young man that I wish that I could have kept up with, and he was one of the first friends of mine that I led to the Lord, and he actually went to church with me and joined the church and was baptized there. I can't wait to get to heaven to see him again. I haven't seen him in years. But you know, we have friendships here on the earth. But how is your friendship with God? How is it going? Have you been laying down your life in the way that he has? Have you been loving the Lord in the same way that he loves you? Have you focused all that you are and all that you have for him? Is the overflow of your friendship with Jesus flowing over into the lives of those around you? Brother Eddie Paul Oates, as they were doing the memorial service, I never got a chance to meet his wife. Never met her before. She had a long battle with brain cancer. And in one of the first surgeries that they had done, they were able to remove about some 77% of the... And so they, as they removed that, the doctors was warning him, she'll have paralysis, she'll never be able to talk again. And they had other things that would be side effects of this surgery. Well, when she came out of surgery, as soon as she opened her eyes, she said, the Lord's answered prayers. She talked. And some of the pastors that were there with them come in to meet her for the first time, and she spoke to them. And the pastors were sharing how shocked that they were that she wasn't supposed to talk. And so her testimony was she worked at an airline, and I think she organized flights and things like that. And so there were several Karens that worked in the airline industry that were all close together. So they nicknamed her Peaches. And they said that she had the sweetest disposition about her, and she was so loving. And you know, when we look at those things, how do people get that title? It's an overflow of their friendship with Christ. They display and allow God to show His love through them. So how is your relationship with the Lord? If we're following Him in service and fellowship and loving others, but then are we laying down our lives in faithfulness to Him? Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we thank You that You have called us friend. You have given us an opportunity to grow so close in understanding of who You are. Lord, may we also be a good friend to You. Lord, You've already demonstrated that You are a faithful friend in all ways. Lord, help us to be that faithful friend to You. Help us to love You in the way that You have loved us. Teach us, Lord. Make us what we need to be, that we can be a loving vessel, not only to You, but to those around us. But Lord, we know it has to come from You first. And so Lord, help us to be receiving of that. Help us in faithfulness, that we'll be walking in that way, and that You'll guide us to fulfill Your purpose. So Lord, as we memorialize the death of Your Son Jesus, may Your Spirit move within our hearts, reminding us of the Word, reminding us of the truths of Your promises, that we may rejoice today, but that we'll be humbled also, that we too need to be laying down our lives for You. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.